11 months ago, my friend David committed suicide. Although he had struggled with depression off and on throughout his life, in recent years, he seemed to be managing quite well. In the months prior to his death, however, he unexpectedly lost his job. He experienced some turmoil in his marriage, and his son was arrested for a minor infraction. I suppose that for David, always fragile in the best of times, it was simply too much to bear. And so with the blast of a shotgun, he took his own life and shattered the normal life of his family. Even today, almost a year later, his wife, Rosemary, and his son, Tin, continue to walk around zombie-like, trying to come to terms with the suddenness of that violent death. The dark memory of David's death haunted me as I pondered this morning's readings, which describe the sudden and terrifying events that will herald Jesus' triumphant return at the end of time. In the first reading, the prophet Daniel speaks of a time unsurpassed in distress since the beginning of the world. I'm sure that Rosemary and Tim know that what that feels like. In today's gospel, Jesus describes the end of the world in foreboding, apocalyptic terms as a time of tribulation when the sun will be blackened, the moon will cease to shine, and the stars will come crashing down from the sky. Every year, as we approach the end of the liturgical calendar, the church presents us with these ominous readings to remind us that our life, too, will come to an end, regardless of the dreams we weave or the plans we so carefully prepare. For some, the end will come peacefully. For others, like David, it will come more violently. For some, death will arrive swiftly, like a thief in the night, but for others only after long lingering illness. But the fact of the matter is that death will surely come for all of us. The point of these gloomy readings is not to frighten us or to sadden us. Rather, they are to shake us up, to get us to consider more thoughtfully the way we are living now. These readings challenge us to ask ourselves just how much a match there is between the life priorities we have set and the priorities that God intends for us. The readings encourage us to consider how we should live while we are waiting for Jesus to return at the end of time. And the answer to that question is really quite simple. We should live today as if the world were going to end tomorrow. Because whether the world actually does end tomorrow or not for another 1,000 years, our task is the same, to live as if Jesus were coming tomorrow. Better yet, we should live as if Jesus were already here among us, because you know, he is already here. On the final day, at the end of the world, Jesus will come with power and glory, surrounded by the hosts of angels, as Mark tells us. He will be hard to miss. But today, he comes quietly, almost imperceptibly. As disciples, you and I need to keep our eyes peeled if we are ever going to spot him among us. We need to search for Jesus in the scriptures that we have just heard, asking ourselves, what is Jesus trying to tell me this morning? We need to search for him in the Eucharist we are about to receive, reflecting on why God chooses to nourish me. What is God strengthening me for? We need to search for Jesus at home in the faces of our family members, especially those who yearn for an encouraging word, or perhaps more urgently, who ache for a word of forgiveness from us. If we still have difficulty finding him in those places, then we ought to search for Jesus where he guarantees that we will always find him, in people who are hungry and homeless, in people who are sick and in prison. You realize, don't you, that when Jesus comes in glory at the end of time, he will only be satisfied if he sees that we have earnestly endeavored to make our world the kind of place that he has always preached about, a place where the widow, the orphan, the migrant in our land find a place of welcome and relief. A place where you and I struggle to overcome the things that prevent us from reaching out to others in love and forgiveness. That kind of world, my sisters and brothers, begins not at the end of time, but here and now. It begins in your heart and in mine. Are you satisfied with what you find in your heart this morning? More importantly, will Jesus be satisfied with what he finds in your heart this morning? In those few quiet moments after communion today, why not share with Jesus how you would like to be if these next 24 hours were your last? For instance, to whom do you need to say, "I'm so glad you chose to love me. You've helped me to be a better person." Or to whom do you need to say, "I do forgive you because I recognize that I have not been perfect either"? If you don't have it within you to say those things today, at least tell Jesus that you would like to say them someday, and then ask for the grace and the courage to say them before it's too late.